The speaker this morning, it's going to be Peter Katuna. And Peter, why don't you just come up and...
Thank you. I should make an introduction of the introduction. I knew Tom in the last few months, and we grew together closer as friends. Like Steve said, Jewish people have a special place in our lives. I said in my life, but I include you too, because I think we're drafted in Christ, in God's family. I think I have too much echo here. Anyway, so we had, I call it Thursday Tom, coffee time at BJ's. I never heard it was a BJ's, a AJ, or who knows what J's. It's in Forest Grove, the best coffee on the planet. And they have piscaris there just to die for. Well, not literally. But we became closer friends, and we connected very well. Like I said, you have a special attraction to the Jewish people that are unique, at least to say. And a week and a half ago, I asked Tom, so what are you going to speak next Sunday? It's going to be your turn. And I want you people to pay attention to, I'm stopping the story now, pay attention to details that happen in our lives. And Norma said it the best thing. I don't know, Norma, can you repeat it? About Tom's passing away, the whole sermon that happened.
What I said the other night?
Yes.
Well, Skip got to choose when, who would speak. He chose Tom to speak first. Tom got to go to Jesus, having done what he liked to do best in life, was preach and go out to BCA and pray. And then he could go home. There's one more little thing that God did. On Thursday, the day that Tom passed, Wanda and Susan Reaver, they were going to work half an hour out of Rummy. They were still there at 2 o'clock, and I saw them at 10:30. They were still there, and I felt so badly that I kept, because of Rummy's water was working. And no, it was such sweet fellowship with Suzanne, and they had the whole day. They sang their prayers, Tracy said, at lunch when they ate together. God gave her a sister to love on her that day, and for her to love back before. Is that what you meant?
Yes. And even to the process of last Sundays, he shared with us the Holy Communion. He, in his unique way, he encouraged us, dig deeper in your pockets for the box, helping hands. It's so interesting. We need to pay attention to those details in our lives. We're running too fast. And we forget that God is so much involved in every breath of our lives. And that's the Father's heart. And what I need to make a little observation, introduction of the introduction, like I said, let's call it the ministry of gentle touch, maybe, the way that we approach Wanda, okay? I'm experienced it that. Diane experienced the same thing. Don't ask questions like, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? No. She does know that she's existing. She's going through an extremely excruciating pain. She does know. Tell her, how about if you go to BJ's Coffee would be a place, you know. Tell her what you can do for her, what you can do with her. If somebody wants to offer to take her car, do a mechanic oil change or whatever, do that too. That's the body of Christ. That's the role of the body of Christ. I smashed my finger a couple, 3 days ago really hard. And how are you doing? I didn't know that I can go through so many yoga positions for pain, you know. But it's the point that it's somebody's hurting. The whole body's hurting at the end of the day. Going back to Tom's story. What are you preaching Sunday? He said, well, if you buy me the coffee, I'll give you the overview. I said, I don't want the overview. Give me the theme of the topic. He said, no, I won't tell you. I said, I won't tell you either my topic, but I just want to make a connection between your story and my story so you can, you know, pretty much going, you know, the same direction. No, you turn life that or left doesn't go well. We decided the Jew and Gentile cannot go in a contractual agreement together, so we decided let's buy each other our own coffee and then we share about it. So he told me that he will speak about the covenant. a Jew and a Gentile couldn't cut a covenant together because it was both hard-headed. Go figure. But he had fun, and that was the time that I loved so much. We laughed, we giggled, he even made earrings for ladies in the church. I would just suggest that if somebody remembers at his funeral services, men don't have to do that. Ladies, wouldn't be a bad idea to bring the earrings that you got from Tom. You know, it's a personal touch. It's something that, we're impacted. And I'm thinking every day, we go to school. First, third grade, fourth grade, fifth, Every day is not going to ever happen again. Pay attention to those little details where God is integrated in our lives. So he told me, he speaks of the covenant. I said, which part? Which covenant? He said, all. I said, you don't realize you don't have time for the old covenants, And he said, no, I'm going to have the description. And where the covenant is, before a covenant has to be established, has to be a need. Remember, Romans, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. The best thing what you can do have dead people was lie there. We didn't breathe. So here comes God from the outside, and how Tom presented it. Saw the need, intervened in our lives, walked with us through the slaughtered animal, through the slaughtered person later, Jesus Christ, and said, now you're mine. I said, oh, Tom, that's good, interesting. But I have also something that I can connect with. He said, what do you plan? What psalm are you going to speak out? And I said, Psalms, that's the issue. I said, Psalm 50. I said, I have something with the covenant. He said, you have some covenant with Psalm 50? I said, yes. Three names of God we'll learn today. We'll go through all of them. I hope I can go as far as you can go. One of them is he's the God of the covenant. And he said, whoa, what's that? Which one is that? I said, read Psalm 50. So I said, Elohim Yahweh speaks. And he said, well, I wish I had said that earlier. I said, you probably would have done it if you have been pushed to do it, And like we spoke sometimes, you get the best benefit when you get in the Word. Amen. All right. So Tom and I agree that we've been blessed by these topics and this bridge of the covenant, and the same thing we'll see today in our text. Psalm 50. I will read, if you want to go through it also, we'll go through the first part I like to expose a little bit on. In the second part, we'll leave it for some other times. But I want you to realize that God speaks for both groups. The good, which were sleeping, and the bad ones, which we'll just read through the psalm. Psalm 50. El Elohim Yahweh spoke and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Verse 3, our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heaven above and the earth that he might judge his people. Verse 5, gather to me my consecrated ones, or the chosen ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices, your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or a goat from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle of the thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Verse 13. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Verse 14, it's key. Sacrifice thanks offering to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God said, is wicked in God's family, wicked in Israel, he's referring to. It's very interesting. He says, what right have you to recite my laws, to take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harden your tongue to deceit. You speak continuously against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. Though you thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. And look here, the grace that God gives even the evil ones. Consider this. In other words, think about it. You forgot God. You who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue. He who sacrifices thanks offering honors me, and he that prepares the way so that I may know him, the salvation of God. My goal in this study together of the first portion, that we, let's call him, to the saint ones, to the chosen one. The second one we're chosen to, but they make a wrong choice, okay? We don't park there, we'll not stay there. My goal in this one is a prayer that Paul recited in Ephesians 1:17, and you can jot it down of the note. It's a critical, it's the foundation of a Christian's life. And Paul prays this way: I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. That's the true knowledge of God. That's what he's looking for. It's fascinating to observe that most of us Christian, being raised in a Christian family, we know a lot about God, very little walking with him, knowing him personally. And the goal of us Christian lives, and the prayer of Paul here, is for us to know him. That's my first person this morning, to know God a little bit more, just a little bit more. Now, you don't trust the person if you don't know the person. That's obvious, right? The more you know the person, the more trust you trust that person. And you come to a point that you cannot not to trust that person. My question is, how come we trust God so little? Probably we don't walk with him too much or know him too much. It's a correlation between how much you know and how much you trust. And that's, I think, the challenge of the Christian, of a daily living, I would say. Fascinating things is about knowing a person. You go, the first thing you're going to find out their name, right? In our Western culture, name doesn't mean much, right? John, Paul, Peter, you name it, whatever. In a Middle Eastern country, it's a different world. It's a different ballgame. Every name has a significance. You know, call John. The angel came to Elizabeth and said, John is going to be his name. Guess what John's name was later? John the Baptizer. So something happened during his life. He got a mission. He got going with it. And he was good. And he did it. He didn't baptize everybody, you know, selective, I would say. But he did that thing. James and John, the sons of thunder. I bet the guy didn't have a very quiet voice, you know. So things attached to our name, our characters is pretty much attaching to our name. You know what? Let me go with you a little bit in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. To him that overcometh, I'll give him to eat the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. I wonder what Tom's name is. I wonder what's his name. I know him, Tom the Encourager. He was right there around in the second row, and the kids from Asante was here in the front and dancing, and boy, those guys were beating the drums like it's no tomorrow. Here's Tom's comes up. Everybody up. You know, see, Tom, I don't, you know. He encouraged us to get up and start, you know, clapping and joyful and dance with him. And Tom goes like, I said, Tom, I need more action. You got me out of a seat to get a frozen chosen out of a seat. I don't move much in the church. I don't greet much because I'm afraid I will lose the place or I'll leave. No. But he's an excited guy, energetic. What would be his name in heaven? You know, I ponder. And the interesting thing is only Christ and that person knows it. And we write on stones, right? Or I have some stones home, joy, love, whatever. This name is written in the stone. What technology is that? You don't need technology there. But this is part of the Hebrew culture. And this is what I like to approach. These three names that we learned today about God. I don't know how far we're going to go. First one, it's El. When you read in English Bible, it doesn't say much about it. God, the mighty one. All right. We're used to that. We need to break away of the normal reading. Dig a little deeper. El means almighty. El, it's almighty. All his strength and power. He's God the omnipotent who can do everything, right? Who knows all, who perform all things for his people, and to whom all divine attributes are concentrated. The second name is Elohim. And this is so awesome. Is God the creator? Put his omnipotence in the creation, in creating everything, what you said. And I like to go another psalm, as I think Psalm 53, where it starts with, "The fool said in his heart, there is no God." This is so obvious. I mean, he's the creation. He's the one who created it. He stares in your face and says, "There is no God." Not such a thing. It's 2007 times mentioned in the Old Testament, Elohim. And the interesting part, I would say, the funny part, to these days, the Jewish writers and the theologian cannot get away from this problem. Elohim, it's plurality of God. So what we as Christians know is the Father, the Son, and on the Holy Spirit were involved in the creation. Elohim, right? Yahweh is the third name. And I'm so grateful for the ladies that went through a study of God's names around here. If you get to that study again with Kay Arthur or Beth Moore, go for it. It's worth. You know God by his name. His name is Joe Bill. No, it doesn't go that way. His character is reflected in every name. And that's so unique about our Lord. And Elohim, it's God the creator of all things. Yehovah, it's like I mentioned, Yahweh is the God of the covenant relation to those who he has created. So he's not a distant God. It's a God involved in our lives. El Elohim Yahweh has spoken. Courtroom scene in Psalm 50. We see as a courtroom. God is the judge and people are brought in front of him. Interesting, his people. Notice Asaph was the writer of the song. He wrote 12 psalms. The depth of the theology, of the knowledge of this man when he writes about God is absolutely stunning. I love those writers. I love those songwriters. We need more songwriters with substance in their songs when they write. And he's impressed with the scenery where God is the judge. And when you go to court, it's serious business. I don't know what happened, but even comedians are very straight-faced there when they go there. So in this case, God is the judge, and he will judge his own people. Verse 1, El Elohim Yahweh speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun till its setting. That is a daily occurrence. Sun comes up, sun goes down. In other words, God is in our midst every day and judges us. And he keeps coming. In verse 3 is mentioned, in Hebrew, our God comes. It's not he came or is coming in the future. No, he keeps coming. Every day. We always live in the presence of God and in the coming of God. I call it sanctification. We go to that later. Verse 2 to 6, this is awesome again. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Round around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he might judge his people. And this is what he says, gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. The most awesome thing is about this description is the last word. God himself is judge. He sits in the courtroom to judge his people. El Elohim Yahweh. He's the supreme one. Elohim is the one of majesty, of greatness, he's the supreme one, sovereign all over else. But Yahweh is the God of mercy, a judge with mercy. We need that. The one who graciously enter in the full understanding of his people. And it's important where he comes from. Look at the next verse. He's not coming from Sinai. Verse 2, out of Zion. The perfection of beauty, God comes. Sinai, of course, was the law. Thunder, lightning, voice loud like a trumpet. The people couldn't take it anymore. They told Moses, get us out of here or we're going to die. You speak to us. We cannot hear God. Zion is Jerusalem and stands for the mercy of God, the redemptive love of God, the grace of God. God is judging but he is judging in mercy. Remember that while we're reading the psalm. In verse 3, our God comes and he does not keep silence. Then the psalmist goes on to describe the character of God who comes to judge his people. The symbols that mark his characteristic of judgments are fire and wind. What do you know about fire? Burns everything. What do you know about wind? I never experienced a tornado. I saw some clips here and there. I wouldn't be able to stay around there. That's how God's power exercised in our life. He burns everything what needs to get out. Everything what is unclean, he burns it. And then he empowers us. Remember the during the Pentecost? Those people who were afraid of a girl, Peter, now who are ready boldly to speak in front of the Pharisees and tell them, you crucified him. He was the one that sent it. Empowered by the power of God, we can do things that we never thought or did before in our lives. He's mentioned in verse 5. Let's start with verse. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. In verse 5, he calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he might judge his people. Those are the witnesses. Whatever we have, and we'll go that a little bit later, it's because of the heavens of the above and the above and the earth. Everything what we have, it's a temporary thing. The question is how kind of what kind of stewards we are. But we cannot say there is no God. Everything what we have from him. I'd like to pause a little bit of the word Selah there, or Selah. It means pause, stop, look, think. And I want to have a little bit of approach of looking a couple of three verses. I want to show to imprint our lives how what a deep relationship he looks for in our interaction with him. Verse 4, he summons the heaven above and the earth that he might judge his people. Verse 5, gather to me my consecrated ones, my chosen one, mine, right? Who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 7, hear, O my people. The O that is not without a purpose. It's an endearment. I wish you can hear. I wish you can listen. It's a shout for I want you here. I want your best. I want you to listen. If you, O Israel, if you had listened. And it's mentioned, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am your God and you're mine. Think about this interaction, this relationship that God is looking for in our life. Verse 7 to 13. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against you. I am your God, you are mine. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, your burnt offerings, and they are continued before me. I will accept no bull from your house, nor a he-goat from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle of the thousand hills as well. I know the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and all that is in it's mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What a remarkable piece of irony that is. That is sarcastic twist to it. God is saying first, I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. No, you do them. But something is missing. And I'm probably going to jump there. We have to be very careful, I would say, and I have to watch myself out, not to make the worship as a ritual, as a standard of, the more we do the same thing, the more we lose participation, the holiness of the event. Let's suppose we have the Holy Communion. Holy Communion to me is really holy. There's some characteristics that I have to go before I approach the Lord's table. I have to verify myself, I have to confess my sins, and then go and participate in the communion. The gift offering. I'll give you $1, $2, whatever. You know, God says he loves a cheerful giver. Let's get the best benefits out of it. Don't lose the momentum. Don't lose the excitement of the momentum because it starts becoming boring. That's what these people had a problem with. They did the sacrifices. They did exactly what God required of them. I had some even friends, they decided to go with a tithing. They did tithing and sometimes later occurred a need and he said, I don't do it, I give tithing. God doesn't want their tithing, by the way, that way. Don't lose what?
They lost their zeal.
Their zeal, the meaning, it's something was missing. And he tells them here, and it's such a lovely statement. He speaks very clearly and tells that what is missing. Verse 14 and 15. If you can memorize, that's awesome. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Third, and call upon me in the day of trouble, for I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Isn't that black and white? Isn't that simple? God doesn't give us the commandment, say, do them. He tells them how to do them, how to get the best out of them. What he wants first? A thankful heart, number one. That's what he seeks. Everything belongs to God. Everything what we have, it's his. We don't give him. We give him what he got from him, by the way, you know. And I heard about very rich people, they don't give 10%. They give 90%, they live with 10%. That's very interesting, I would have, you know. But God entrusts us with how much we can handle. You know, it's his. A joyful heart. It's interesting how Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why is that? Because receiving, you always can say a thank you. It's nothing more grateful in my family than to see one of my kids say, thank you. I appreciate when Diane, a little thing I picked up, I brought her the coffee this morning, whatever, you know. She said, thank you. I was thinking, wow, this really is good. Guess what? God needs the same thing from us. A person who is really engaged with him, who pays attention to details, who said, Lord, this is awesome. Thank you. Second thing is an obedient will. Pay your vows to the Most High. Notice the kind of obedient it is. If you make a vow, stick with it. You don't have to. You drive 45, 60 in a 50-mile zone, 30 to 75 in a 60-mile zone, 55-mile zone. Then you see in the rearview mirror some blue and light light. It says, oh, Jesus, and here goes my friend. Please save me from this guy. I don't want, I promise I will give you next the value of the ticket. Next time, please, 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 I'll be the best Christian. Here comes the officer. Good morning. How are you? I'm sorry I did this, you know. And his words one time, I remember them. He said, what in the name of the Lord did you drive at 75 miles an hour on a 55-mile zone? I know I'm doing so. And still looking, I tried to figure out, you know, I said, this guy doesn't speak the language of an officer. The first thing asking for driver license, insurance. And I looked at him, and I see a little cross. I said, thank you, Jesus. This must be a chaplain. And he was a chaplain. I am so sorry. This is my word. I would never do that again. I know the law is for my good. Please offer me grace, you know. And the guy's, oh, okay, you know, that's gone. A week goes by. 2 week goes by. 3 week goes by. And I did not fill my quick vow. That I said, if I get off the hook from this guy, I'll pay it, you know. You don't have to make vows. If you do, keep them. That's what he said. It's simple. It's simple. And it's not the rest of the story, okay? The third thing what God wants is a prayerful spirit. You're in trouble. He said it. Pray. I make the quickest players on the planet, you know. I'm in pain. Please let it stop. He's there. He wants, you see, he's always in, tries to stir us up to interact with him. That's the relationship all about. We don't come to church because we have to come to church. We come to church because we're a body of believers. When one that's hurting, go by his side. Probably you have to keep your mouth shut for a day. The wisest things Job's friends did, they were when they kept their mouth shut. And they opened then the problem occurred, you know. Be there. Be with her. Walk with her. Wash her dishes. Ask her how she's doing. Tell her you're available when she needs you. Five applications. Keep God great in your eyes. Know him by his name. Elohim Yahweh. Call him that way when you talk to him. Believe his promise. In verse 15, call on me on the day of the trouble and I'll deliver you. In the day of trouble of health, of losing a loved one, we didn't lose Tom. He knew where that is. But it's a loss in our heart. It's a loss in Wanda's heart. It's a major void. You talk to a lady or a man who lost his spouse, it's a chasm. I don't know how to describe it. It never ends. And God, even in that event, Diane and I and whoever went through this loss, know that God slowly comes by. And you almost can touch him. You almost can feel him. He almost can feel his breath. And that gives you strength from one day to another. By the way, live every day like it would be the last day. Talk nice to your spouse. Me too. Talk nice to your loved one. You never know. A ridiculous fall can be the end. Timing, I know it's in God's hand. Number 3, call on the Lord. Always pray and do not lose heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. He will come just when it's best for you. Call him to help you make the money you need, to have the job you need, to find the courage to minister when you have to. Number 4, if he leads you, make a vow. You don't have to. But when you're in a close relationship with somebody or when you get in a jam or whatever, make a vow. Keep it. I know you forget. Honor. That's what he asked for. Number 5, glorify him with all your heart. It's like a cycle. When God delivers you from your loved ones from the day of trouble, glorify him with all your heart. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so much in awe of you, El Elohim Yahweh. Put a design in our hearts to know and trust you more. Help us to understand how real you are, how realistic you are. And to know, Lord, that we cannot come with half-hearted hearts to serve you. Lord, we offer you right now the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank you that you are at work for good, both in us and through us. Grant that we might obey your truth out of a heart of gratitude. We ask in your name, Elohim El Yahweh. Amen. Announcement or
and remember that ladies first, children second, and men last.